The Gemara says in Maseches Yuma that on top of the Aron, in the Mishkan, in the Beis HaMikdash, in the first Beis HaMikdash, there were two Kruvim. The Kruvim were attached to the lid of the Aron. It was made from the same gold. It wasn't attached. It was made from the same gold of the lid of the Aron. And the two images faced one another. The Chazal tell us that one looked like a male and one looked like a female. And it represented the love between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. To the extent that the Gemara tells us that when we would do the will of Hashem, when Bnei Yisrael were on the good track, so the two Kruvim would embrace one another. The Gemara says that when we were Ola L'Regel, on Pesach, Shua, Sukkis, when we went up to the Beis HaMikdash, it was a time that the relationship between the Jewish people and Hashem was probably of the highest level. So, as we would leave, the Kohanim would roll up the Paroches, the curtain of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and show that the Kruvim were embracing one another on top of the Aron. Hashem on one side, Jewish people on the other side, embracing one another, in love with each other, a tremendous closeness between us and Hashem. And the Gemara in Yuma, on the same page, just on the flip side, in Dafnin Dalad Amud Beis, says that when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and the Gentiles walked into the Beis HaMikdash, they saw the Kruvim embracing one another. And the Ritva asks on the Gemara there, he says, how could that be? The whole idea of the Kruvim embracing was that the Jewish people and Hashem were in love with one another. Here, at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, when we've sinned, when it's all over, how could it be that they were embracing? And the Rimigash, one of the very, very early Rishonim, is quoted in the Shita Mekubetzes and Baba Basra and Daf Tzadi Tesama Beis, page 99. He gives the technical answer. He says, it's a special answer, he says that Hashem wanted to show the non-Jews that really He loves them. He really loves the Jewish people. He just wanted to give them a glimpse of the love between the Jewish people. That's true right now. Maybe the Kruvim should have been facing away from one another because we weren't performing the will of Hashem. We weren't exactly facing in the direction, facing in the way, the focus that we're supposed to. But Hashem wanted to show what it's about. That Hashem loves us, we're close, and therefore He gave them a glimpse. But Reb Chaim Shmulevitz in the Sichos Musar gives a different answer. And this answer is very, very applicable to us in our everyday lives, in our interpersonal relationships, in our interactions with one another, especially in yeshiva. And that is, he says, that the only time you could ever rebuke another person, you want to criticize someone for the way they've acted, for something they've done, the only way you could do that is if you've shown immense love for that person. If that person knows that you love them, that you care about them, that you feel close to them, then there's a chance that your criticism will be constructive. But otherwise, there's no chance. And Hashem was showing at the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, what was He doing? He was showing, He was rebuking the Jewish people. You can't continue this way. This way of acting, the way that your behavior has shown, it can't continue. He was giving us Musar. That's really what the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash was. But at the same time, He was embracing us. He was hugging us. And that's what the non-Jews saw when they walked in. The two Kruvim were hugging one another. Because Hashem loved us at that time. It wasn't that He was upset at us. He wasn't hating us and therefore giving us Musar. Maybe He was disappointed. But He still loved us. And that's how the two Kruvim at that time were embracing one another. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuf Zayin, 107, the Gemara says that when you're rebuking another person, when you want to give him criticism, the small docha, with the left hand you push him away, will be amin miskareves. With the right hand you bring him close. What's that symbolism? Does it mean like you punch the guy and you pull him back? Well, what does that mean? You push with the left, you pull with the right. So the Yad Ramah, one of the Rishonim, explains on the Gemara that the left hand normally represents, okay, maybe there's some lefties in the room, but generally the left hand represents the weaker hand. And the right hand represents the stronger hand. What the Gemara is telling us is that the only way you're going to be successful in criticizing someone is if you're pulling with the right hand, there's more, the right, stronger, more of bringing the person close than what you're pushing them away with your musar, with your criticism. Everyone, no matter who you are, what you're doing, no matter how close you are to someone, when we criticize someone, we're hurting the person. We're hitting them in a very deep place. No one likes to hear that they're not doing a good job. No one likes to hear that they did something wrong. No one likes it, that's for sure. There have even been scientific studies that have shown that certain cells in the brain start moving in different ways when a person is criticized. The same parts of the brain that push things off don't want to be active because we start to feel inadequate. We're not going to be able to perform. Criticism is the worst thing you could do to anyone ever. That's a starting point. If you have to criticize, for whatever reason, maybe we'll go through some of those points when that ever comes about, but it has to be done in a way that the yamin is mitkarevet, the stronger arm is loving, caring, showing that you care about the person, that you want to help the person, that you feel for the person, and not just because, oh, he did something wrong, I got to go tell him. Now this comes up very often in yeshiva, it could come in a relationship, in a marriage. What happens is, when people are growing and changing, which I hope everyone is going to be growing and changing for the rest of their lives. That's what the world is about. That's what living is about. We're always growing, we're always changing. Right? As we do that, the natural way of man is that they start to become super sensitive to other people not doing that thing. Okay? For example, you can have a best friend. And you always joke around with the guy, and you tease each other, and it's normal. You've been doing it since you're 5 years old. Now you're 25. You've been living together for 25 years. You're roommates in school, etc. You're close, right? And you joke around, and you tease, and that is what we do. All of a sudden, you had a certain light bulb click on in your head, and you start, you know, maybe it's not so nice to tease people. I know you just, people know you're just joking, but maybe it's not the right way. Or maybe there's certain words that you use in your vocabulary and you start to realize that maybe we shouldn't be using such words. So what do? In your own life, you're not pushing it on anyone else, right? In your own life, you start to speak in a pure fashion. You'll stop teasing people, stop joking around in ways that maybe aren't so nice. And the second you start doing that, the second you embark on your journey, all of a sudden you start noticing all the people around you that don't speak that way. Again, they've been speaking that way for the last 20 years. It's not like nothing changed today. But the fact that you changed today makes you start to see in others that they're not acting in the way that you're acting. They're not speaking in the same way. They're not acting towards others in the same way that you are. And then all of a sudden, you start looking down at the person. Whoa, look how he speaks. Now again, nothing. Yesterday he spoke the same way, and you were fine with it. Today, all of a sudden, it starts to bother you. And very often what happens, people start to voice that concern. How could you speak that way? This happens in marriages all the time. A person has some experience that wakens them up to acting in one way, and then all of a sudden, he starts telling his wife, you know, you shouldn't be doing this, you shouldn't be doing that. She was doing the exact same thing the last 17 years. They've been married for who knows how long. But all of a sudden, because he became more sensitive to it, he starts putting it down on his wife. And I'm sure we've seen it amongst our friends. A person becomes a little more religious, more understanding of certain things. All of a sudden, he starts noticing how this guy doesn't do it. He has to let him know. Right? That's wrong. The first thing that we have to recognize is that as we grow and change, we are becoming hypersensitive about those around us that aren't. That doesn't mean that person is evil. That person is the worst person, the exact same person he was yesterday. The same person that you loved and you cared about and you wanted to hang out with. He's the exact same person. It's just that you are becoming more sensitive. You are becoming more in touch with what he's doing wrong. That doesn't mean that that's an impetus, that's a cause for us to go ahead and start to rebuke. Very often, when we want to grow with someone else, this especially marriage, right? You want to grow with your wife, you want to change with your wife, so you want to be able to influence. So how do you go do that? How do I let my wife know, how do I let my friend know about this experience that I had that allowed me to grow and change? I want her to change with me, I want my friend to change with me. How do I bring them into the picture so we could grow together? How do we do that? So I was once, he's not here right now, but I was once giving a class to alumni on the phone. We had a class that many people dialed in to a conference call, and I asked this question, and someone in LA said to me, he said, "Oh, I know, it's the compliment sandwich." Okay, now I never heard of that before. Right away I checked into, what is the compliment sandwich? So has anyone ever heard of the compliment sandwich? Oh, only a couple of people. Okay, I'll tell you what it says on WikiHow. How do you do the compliment sandwich? Because that's how you know how to do everything, right? Look on WikiHow. Okay, so it says over there as follows. 6 steps. Step number 1. Decide where the person needs to improve. Okay? We'll see an example in a minute. Step number 2. Think of something related that he does well. For instance, if an employee is always late, try highlighting how he gets straight to work once he arrives, or how he volunteers to stay late. Step number 3. Choose another loosely related strength to remark on. 4. Deliver the first compliment. Now, as a side point, before we move on to 4, 5, and 6, this should have been called the criticism sandwich, not the compliment sandwich. Right? If you have a deli sandwich, the deli is in the middle, and the bread is on the top, right? It's the deli sandwich, that's what's in the middle. So a compliment sandwich should have been in the middle between the two criticisms, but it's the opposite. So already they got the name wrong. Okay, deliver the first compliment. This is piece of bread number 1, okay? Deliver the first compliment. "Hey, John, already hard at work? Wow, you just got here." Okay, you gave a compliment. Got to work very quickly. Step 5. State where you'd like to see improvement. "It's almost 9:50 though. You've been late a lot recently. Maybe need to find a way to miss that morning traffic." Okay, that was your criticism. And step 6, finish with the last compliment. "Oh, by the way, your car looks fantastic." Okay? So that's how you're supposed to do it. It's explicit in WikiHow. That's how you do it. Okay? You give a compliment. You got to work fast. You deliver the criticism. You get late. You're late to work often. And you sandwich it with another compliment on top. And that is that your car looks great. Okay. Now, this is the worst thing that you could do to a person. Okay? It happens to be a machlokas on the internet, but I don't even understand what the other possibility is. This is the worst thing you could ever do to anyone. Never try this at home or anywhere else. Okay? You will destroy the person that you're doing what you want to do with. You want to criticize a person? This is the last, this is not even an option. Why? What's so bad? Because we just explained that the only way you could ever get a message across to another person, and again, there's no mitzvah to get the message across. Reb Chaim Volozhiner writes in the Keser Rosh, he says that if you know that a person, after you rebuke him, will not listen to you, there's no mitzvah to give tochacha. There's no mitzvah to give rebuke. That's explicit, halacha. If you know he's not going to listen, there's no mitzvah to give the rebuke. So the only time we want to rebuke is if we want to get somewhere. We want to help the person. We want him to be able to grow. Now, if you want that to be effective, you want that to be constructive, the only way that can happen is if the person feels your love. The person feels that you care about him. The person feels that you're in for his best interest. Giving someone a compliment, you haven't spoken to the guy in 3 months, or you had a bad interaction with him yesterday. Come and bring him in and say, let me just tell you something. You get to work so quickly. Oh, I love you. Thank you. So that's not going to happen. Right? That one time off-the-cuff compliment doesn't cause you to love the person, cause him to feel loved by you. It doesn't work like that. And therefore, the second you give that tochacha, the second you give that rebuke, first of all, he's going to realize that you just set him up. And that first compliment was totally not genuine. And it's going to hurt even more that you tried to fake him out. You're going to pierce him. You're going to kill him. You're going to stab this guy. It's going to be horrible. And it's going to hurt. It's going to hurt. The only way that you could ever criticize someone is if the other person feels secure in the relationship with you. They have to feel loved by you. What does that mean? That means that in the context of marriage, let's say, that most of what your wife has heard from you lately has been positive. And by lately, every person has to know their spouse. Everyone's different. It might have been for 3 weeks. All she's heard from me is, you're amazing, you're a great cook, you're so nice, you're a great mother, whatever the compliments are. All she's heard is positive. So she feels good. She feels good with you. Or your roommate, your friend, your classmate. He's heard good things from you. Two, that they've internalized those compliments. Didn't just go in one ear and out the other. Wasn't that your wife or your roommate have been so busy that they didn't even process what you told them? It's sitting there. Deep down inside, there's a fat cushion. The bun is nice and fluffy. Full of compliments and positivity. So that, if you have to give some level of criticism, it'll land in a very soft place. Again, you don't have to do it right away. A person could do something wrong, and you could wait a week, 2 weeks, to be able to give the criticism. It's very helpful. Very often when you do that, you'll never give it. Guaranteed. 99.9% of the time when you wait, and you're not in the moment, you're not upset, and you're not like, ugh, you'll end up not, it'll never happen again. It was a mistake. I know he didn't mean that. I know she didn't mean that. It's not worth it. And you won't even do it. But after 2 weeks, or however much time you need, when you're not in the moment, you're not anxious, you're not angry, you're not upset, and then, again, you're all positive, 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 and then you say something, so first of all, you won't give it off in an angry way. No one likes to hear anything if the person that's telling to them is angry at them. You can't have facial expressions. Your tone can't be angry. Can't be like, you know, in the person's face. It has to be calm. You know, I've heard you say something. I think if you would have said it like this, it would have been better. The person would have appreciated it more. There's so many ways of doing it that it could be successful. And this is one of the lessons. We don't think about this. This is one of the lessons of Tisha B'Av, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. And the non-Jews walked in there to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, and the Kruvim were hugging each other. Hashem, one of the Kruvim, which represents Hashem, was hugging the Jewish people. Why? Because he loved us. He wasn't rebuking us because he was mad. He wasn't rebuking us because he wanted to get at us. Oh, the Jews did it, that's it, I'm taking my revenge. That's not what it was about. He loved us. He cared about us. And he had to give us rebuke. It was a last resort. Hashem didn't want to do that. And that's how the non-Jews walked out and said, what's going on over here? These two golden things are hugging each other. What is that? Because Hashem loved us at that time. And we have to take that to our own lives. Again, we should really never criticize. And we should never rebuke. There are many other ways of influencing people. But if it ever has to happen, it has to be with a very, very strong, super dense amount of love that comes beforehand. And then when we do that, we'll be able to grow with people, we'll be able to influence people, and our relationships will be so much greater. Shavua Tov.